Now, again, from the regulatory point to the industry point, there are several small point of views. Dr. Yasser Kader from Boehringer Ingelheim.
Okay. So the underlying mechanism of thromboembolic events were described and categorized long ago. And basically, we know that there are different risk categories for thromboembolic events: abnormal vessel wall, abnormal blood flow, and abnormal coagulation. And cardiovascular pathology might fall under one and the other of these risk categories. And we know also from the long-standing experience with anti-vitamin K that different levels of INR might be required, although it's basically not so much, but okay, so there are different level of anticoagulations that might be required for every disease. So the underlying mechanism contributing to thromboembolic events might differ in their nature and also in their intensity between CV diseases. And improving the benefit-risk ratio of new oral anticoagulants require different level of anticoagulation. So basically, we need to account for the thrombotic risk, the bleeding risk, and concomitant therapy. And what we learned from a clinical trial published recently that small changes in the dose might lead to a different benefit-risk profile. I again come to rely on basically the study was mentioned before. In the study, we compared two doses of dabigatran to warfarin in patients with atrial fibrillation, and we can see clearly that the 150 milligram was superior to warfarin, whereas 110 milligram was similar in terms of efficacy. In terms of safety, basically 110 milligram was better than warfarin, whereas 150 milligram was similar. So this again highlights the importance of the dose. So basically 35% of the change of the dose led to a different safety and efficacy profile. And also, to some extent, confirms that the dose selection was appropriate. ATLAS-2, TIMI-51 study was mentioned before. Again, basically, having two doses in the study was a very good thing. The two doses showed consistent effect on the primary endpoint. However, the smaller dose, the 2.5 milligram BID, showed superiority in terms of cardiovascular death and all-cause death. So basically, the trials published so far support different level of anticoagulation in different cardiovascular pathology, and basically this would translate to a different dose by disease and even in subpopulation. So basically, the dose should be customized for CV indications. And I would not take this that we did not pick the right dose. I would say in the opposite. This means that we probably picked the right is a good dose because basically, it has been demonstrated that this dose was effective and safe. So for the adaptive design, I would go to two scenarios, adaptive seamless design combining phase 2A and phase 2B. So this is the concept of explore and learn, and the adaptive seamless design combining phase 2B and the 3, so learn and confirm. So from my personal point of view, and this might be also the view of different people from the industry standpoint, would very often support combining phase 2A and phase 2B, basically using biomarkers and coagulation parameters to add or drop those in the stage 1 and basically confirm this, learn more about these doses in a longer study in stage 2. So phase 2B study looking at the clinical endpoints, basically bleeding and a composite endpoint of ischemic events. We do also other kinds of adaptation like futility analysis, sample size recalculation, and so on. With respect to adaptive seamless design combining phase 2B and 3, although there are theoretical attractiveness to this design, basically shortening the development timelines and could reduce the size of the clinical program and eventually exposure of patients to experimental drugs. But I think we should be very aware of the risks and limitations. So basically, there is a difficulty in maintaining the study integrity. This was mentioned before. I mentioned it again. And to control also for the type 1 error. Secondly, basically, the dose confirmation could not be backed by the health authorities. We cannot go for a formal phase 2B end to phase 2 meeting with health authorities. So this is also an important aspect that we need to take into account. There are also huge operational challenges. So basically front-loading all the preparations, large investment at risk, anticipations for different scenarios in terms of drug supply, countries, sites, health authorities, and so on and so on. So these are major investments that they need to be taken into account. And also, the sponsor is not involved in some crucial decisions. When you have adaptive seamless design combining phase 2B and 3, basically the decision is taken by a decision committee or by the DSMB operation committee, but it's not by the sponsor with little involvement of the sponsor. This could not only raise some frustration, but also people who know the compound most cannot contribute to the decision, and so this should be taken into account. In addition, and I think this applies for new oral anticoagulants, when endpoints occur late in the follow-up, then basically the yield of adaptive seamless design combining phase 2, B and 3 become limited, and especially when there are different patterns for the distribution of for efficacy and safety endpoints. So in my personal view, and I think this reflects also the view of a lot of us, the risk should be thoroughly considered and cautiously weighted against the potential advantage of this approach and should only be decided in special conditions and at case-by-case basis. Thank you.
Thank you.